The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Dan Prof Show. And earlier in the program, we spoke of Kamala Harris, her speech on Wednesday evening at the DNC. Talked a little bit of compare and contrast on what she's saying about race and Joe Biden today versus what she was saying as a presidential aspirant just a few months ago. And the same can be said of her position on so many issues, including health care. Remember, part of the reason that Kamala Harris's campaign cratered was because she couldn't get her story straight on the big issues being prosecuted by her competitors like Bolshevik Bernie. Medicare for All, which she signed on to as a co-sponsor. But she couldn't figure out if private health insurance was going to be eliminated or not. First, she was very confident that private health insurance was going to be eliminated. And then she seemed to say that Medicare for All, as she envisioned it, didn't eliminate private health insurance for 170 million Americans. Didn't exactly inspire a lot of confidence. Kamala versus Kamala.
Well, listen, the idea is that everyone gets access to medical care. And you don't have to go through the process of going through an insurance company, having them give you approval, going through the paperwork, all of the delay that may require. Let's eliminate all of that. Let's move on.
And she reiterated that position many times.
So for people out there who like their insurance, well, they don't get to keep it.
Let's eliminate all of that. Let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on from private health insurance. Then she subsequently said that that same Medicare for All proposal in which she's a co-sponsor does not eliminate private health insurance and we shouldn't move on. For more on all of this, now that she has reimagined herself as a vice presidential running mate of Joe Biden, we're pleased to be joined again by Sally Pipes. She is the president, CEO, and Thomas W. Smith Fellow in Healthcare Policy at the Pacific Research Institute, author of False Premise, False Promise, The Disastrous Reality of Medicare for All. Sally, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for having me on again.
So I'm not sure it matters that much which Kamala we're supposed to believe, the one who wanted to eliminate private health insurance and didn't seem particularly concerned about it versus the one that said the proposal I co-signed does not do that because it's politically unpopular for me to take that position. I think it suggests that the only honest person running around in Democrat socialist circles these days is Bernie Sanders, who's straight away about eliminating private health insurance.
Well, you're absolutely right. And as in the clip, I mean, she did sign on to Bernie's single-payer health care plan, which means there would be no private coverage at all. And just the other day, Senator Sanders said, we have to first elect Joe Biden, and then we will push the country further left. I mean, he is definitely very much involved in the health care negotiations. He was on the Unity Task Force on health care. And, you know, Kamala Harris, I think, really, I mean, she has flip-flopped on the issue. But deep down, she really believes in single-payer Medicare for All. Like, let's get rid of all that, the insurance companies. You know, when she was in Iowa, remember, she went to a nursing home, and the 90-year-old lady said, after she was talking about getting rid of, you know, all of the private insurance, and the lady said, well, just leave my health care alone. And she was stumped on it. But she really believes in expanding, whether it's a stepping stone approach, going slowly there as presidential nominee Joe Biden wants to do. But they all want single payer in the long run.
And just remind us again, since these are Joe Biden, supposedly the moderate in the party. Once upon a time, a formal government takeover of health care wasn't seen as a moderate position. But remind us the implications of that for those 170 million Americans who have private health insurance.
Right. The polling by Kaiser Family Foundation shows that 56% of people, when polled, like the idea, support single-payer health care. But when they're asked the subsequent question, well, this will mean that you'll lose your private coverage, support goes down to 37%. When they're told you would have to pay higher taxes for this, support goes down to 27%. So people don't understand what Medicare for All means, but what it does mean is that you would lose your private coverage. And as you mentioned, 170 million people have employer-sponsored coverage. And in the latest poll, 71% like it. So they really don't understand that single payer would mean the government would run the whole healthcare system. At least in the post office, there's competition from FedEx and UPS. There wouldn't be competition. And there would be, just like in Canada, where I'm from, long waiting lists, ration care. The older you are, you're less likely. I mean, the average wait in Canada today from seeing a primary care doc to getting treatment by a specialist is 21 weeks, over 5 months. And you never call up a specialist, your dermatologist, and book an appointment. You first have to go to your primary care doctor, or GP, as we call them, and then you're waiting 21 weeks to get that appointment with the specialist. People just have to understand what it means. Government can only spend so much money on healthcare. And we're a very rich country. Yes, we spend 17% of GDP on healthcare. Americans are impatient and they want to get their healthcare now, and they would be absolutely over the top if the government took it over.
Well, our inability to understand trade-offs is really costing us, not just at the healthcare system, but with in dealing with the pandemic as well. And there's the beautiful lie of the free lunch, which you're describing. And then there's the ugly fear-mongering that's associated with COVID-19 reporting. I want to get to the latter. Right after this, more with Sally Pipes, President, CEO, and Thomas W. Smith Fellow in Healthcare Policy at the Pacific Research Institute, author of False Premise, False Promise, The Disastrous Reality of Medicare for All. We'll be right back.
The more you listen, the more you'll know. This is the Dan Proft Show.
Welcome back to the show. We're speaking with Sally Pipes, President, CEO, and Thomas W. Smith Fellow in Healthcare Policy at the Pacific Research Institute, author of the book False Premise, False Promise, The Disastrous Reality of Medicare for All, which we were speaking of. And the other thing that was interesting just on Medicare for All before we turn our attention to COVID is the executive order that President Trump issued on suspending the payroll tax for the remainder of the year below a certain income level. The hue and cry from those on the left, mainly opponents of the president, that he was jeopardizing the financial viability of Medicare. The payroll tax doesn't provide the necessary funding to support Medicare in terms of the obligations that Medicare throws off, given the way that it's structured and how it's expanded since 1965. So that's sort of another beautiful lie to begin with. But it just speaks to the point. It just speaks to the notion that at some point there has to be like a long sustained conversation about inputs and outputs, about trade-offs, about opportunity costs. It probably should be happening at the K-12 level, but it doesn't seem to be based on some of the polling data you were describing before the break.
If you look at Vice President Joe Biden, now the candidate, one of his ideas in his health care plan is to reduce the age of eligibility for Medicare from 65 down to 60.
Yeah.
That'll add 22 million people to the Medicare roll. And the thing is that the Medicare trustees have said that the Part A, the hospital trust fund, will probably be bankrupt in just 6 years. And so we're going to add 22 million people and $100 billion. This is just pie in the sky. So the American people need to understand what these ideas that Harris and Biden are telling them, because it's going to be a disaster for our healthcare, and particularly for research and development, innovation, et cetera.
Well, and research, development, innovation, boy, that's sort of the topic of the day, given the Operation Warp Speed pursuit of a vaccine, or vaccines, plural, as well as therapeutics to deal with COVID-19. This would seem like an opportune time to try to, you know, help people put the pieces together of, you have this sort of government takeover where they're the driver, you know, healthcare becomes government centric the way that K-12 education is, and you're going to have the same results, which you're not going to particularly enjoy.
And when you think back to the beginning, early on in the pandemic, it was the CDC that, you know, had faulty testing things. That was the government agency. And Operation Warp Speed, President Trump signed an executive order a year ago, September, which would allow public-private partnerships. And so we're seeing, you know, where around the world are the developments in new vaccines and, you know, antivirals. The vaccine work is all being done basically in the United States, whether it's Johnson & Johnson, Moderna, Pfizer.
Yeah, Regeneron.
And so this is where we don't have price controls on pharmaceuticals. We do value innovation. Cost $2.6 billion to bring a drug from an idea to the market. Only 12% make it. But it's here in this country where the best vaccines, cancer drugs, immunotherapies are all developed here, not in countries that have price controls. And even in countries with price controls, the companies, whether it's AstraZeneca, whether it's Sanofi, whether it's GlaxoSmithKline, they don't do their R&D in the UK or in France or in Germany. They do it in America because they know how expensive it is. We need to keep this pipeline open. So, because as we get older, we want to be able to have access to the best vaccines and treatments for diseases that are very serious.
It's sort of remarkable, even as Big Pharma is driving the push for a vaccine, and some of the demagoguery and the demonization of Big Pharma has been tamped down a bit, you still have those on the left calling for what you said we don't have, price controls to for the government to manage Big Pharma so that the vaccine, once it's developed, is distributed properly according to prioritized, probably identitarian, some identitarian progression and so on and so forth. So, I mean, they just can't help themselves from killing or attempting to kill the golden goose, even when it's laying golden eggs.
Well, exactly. And, when you read Biden's plan, the Democratic healthcare plan was approved on Tuesday. I mean, they want price controls. They want to get rid of the private sector. They want to be able to, the government, they want the government to negotiate with the insurance companies on what rates will be paid. This is going to be a complete disaster. They want to import drugs from countries like Canada that do have price controls. And in many cases, the drugs that are available here aren't even available in U.S. in Canada, even when the U.S. companies offer them at a lower price, because the Patented Medicines Prices Review Board in the government decides they're still too expensive. And Canada doesn't have, they have a population of 35 million. As the officials in government have said, we can't supply the U.S. market because we hardly have enough drugs for ourselves. So some of these ideas, but certainly Biden and Harris, want price controls. They want to have the government negotiate drug prices. They want to change the way, remember, under Medicare Part D, the drug program, the government can't negotiate the prices, but they want to change that so that, and I think if the Democrats win the presidency and Congress, this will be one of the things that they want to do.
Everything involving COVID-19 has been politicized to varying extents now. What has been the most frustrating for you? There's so much to choose from, I know, but maybe frustrating in the sense of what do you think is doing the most damage to our ability to effectively respond as best we can to both preserve life and preserve livelihoods?
Well, I think the biggest issue is that people on the progressives and people on the left are saying that the COVID pandemic is the reason why we need Medicare for all. And if you look at countries like in England and in Canada that have socialized systems, look at the cancellations of cancer surgeries, of a lot of appointments and things that are needed. And that now in the UK, the National Health Service says within a short time, there will be 10 million people on a waiting list to get their various treatments and surgeries because everything has been pushed back because of COVID. And in Canada, it's the same thing. People cannot get their appointments and things because the hospitals are full of people with COVID, and the fact that they just don't have the capacity. We have, the United States has the highest number of ICU unit beds per capita in the country, six times as many as in the UK, twice as many as in Canada. So we don't want to go to a completely government run system such as in Canada. Britain allows a bit of private coverage. In fact, the other day the National Health Service said they are going to provide £10 billion over 4 years in funding to private hospitals so that they can get rid of some of these waiting lists that are a result as a result of the NHS and not enough capacity because of COVID.
She is Sally Pipes, President, CEO, and Thomas W. Smith Fellow in Healthcare Policy at the Pacific Research Institute, author of the book False Premise, False Promise, The Disastrous Reality of Medicare for All. Sally Pipes, thanks for joining us again. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Dan.
Just stand down, turn me on, stop me like a motor, make me run, loving every minute of it, love it.
Listening to The Dan Proft Show on the Salem Radio Network.